Now stop humming, it's everything to change.
The change.
That walk too made you open your brain.
Open your brain.
Eric Vanek is here, so remember the name.
Remember the name.
He got the waiver wire for the week. Tell you who to start and who to give a seat. Dropping the podcast every week. You know the knowledge is elite. After the show, we gon' hold a Lombardi. Celebrating like we throwing a party. This the blueprint that I know they gon' copy. Stop humming, intros always go the hardest. Cause this is America's game.
Hey, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to America's Game, episode number 47. I'm your host, Eric Vanek, and you can find me on Twitter at EricVanekNFL. And as always, joined by my man, Mike. Mike, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, B? How you doing, man?
Same old shit as usual.
You know.
Drafting.
Wednesday.
Yeah, drafting, doing underdog drafts, some FFPC drafts.
Ooh.
Trying not to bake in this surface of the sun hot fucking weather.
I always say I hate winter too, but then I find myself complaining a lot when it gets hot like this too, so either way.
Yeah, I think I'd rather take the cold than this 9500 shit.
I don't know, man. I still gotta move snow. That's terrible.
Yeah.
I think I'd like it if I could, you know, just stay at home and do fantasy football stuff in air conditioning all day. That would be much better.
Yeah, just hire a plow driver. Fuck it.
Yeah. I'll get on that. My wife don't let me hire anything.
Oh, man. We're doing some our campus to Canton startup draft, so that's been going pretty good. How do you think yours has gone so far? We're doing only the NFL side so far.
Well, you know me. I like to try different stuff, and when I do, I lean the fuck in. Right? Don't half-ass it. So I got my co-manager, Fizzle, convinced on this one, so... We're drafting all them college picks, man. That's pretty much what we spend it on. Other than we started with two quarterbacks. Because kind of like I've talked about before with C2C leagues, I always find myself if I don't have quarterbacks, it becomes like a crapshoot whether or not you can actually get them without having to pay a shit ton. Right? You think, oh, well, the college guys will graduate, but we're so piss poor at choosing NFL quarterbacks. You really want to start that like 4 years sooner and try to figure out who's going to the pros? Like who's going to be a first-round draft pick in the NFL? Oof, no thanks.
I think it's also different right now with the college landscape of quarterbacks. There's literally not one I can tell you that I'm positive is going to be a for-sure NFL stud.
There ain't
one in college, honestly.
Yeah,
like, there's a lot of potential guys for sure, but none of them have lived up to it. Like Quinn Ewers hasn't lived up to it.
Nope.
Nico from Tennessee is like one of the top guys, but it's Tennessee. That system has been dog shit for quarterbacks going to the NFL. Carson Beck's a nice player, but is he a stud? Is he the next, you know, Kirk Cousins or Jared Goff? Probably, but he's not Jaden Daniels or Anthony Richardson or any of these guys that have come out recently. There's just a lot in the college landscape. Like that's one of the things I went into this draft knowing, like, I got to get at least two good quarterbacks. So I feel at least safe on the NFL side. Cause I can't rely on my college side to get any quarterbacks.
I mean, maybe the best one, we still haven't seen him play yet though. Arch Manning.
We don't even know if he's good. Like, we honestly don't know. We thought Quinn Ewers was going to be some god, and he's been, meh.
Yep,
okay
yep.
And shitty.
Yep. I don't know. This DJ Lagway, too, that's coming out as a freshman to Florida, kind of really looks the part. He looks like an Anthony Richardson clone, so maybe that's your hope. But I'm kind of with you. Like
Sellers, too.
Yeah, all these guys we think are good. But we honestly don't know. I mean, who really had, Michael Penix being a first-round pick? You know, my hate for Bo Nix, he ended up being a first-round pick. You know, Drake May and Caleb Williams from their freshman years on, like, we kind of knew those guys were going to be stars. But I don't think there's anybody out there in the college landscape right now that I can really pin that on where, like, oh, yeah, this guy's a stud. We've already seen it.
Yeah. I've been watching a lot of the Campus to Canton guys' videos lately, and Nussmeier from LSU is one of the ones they keep talking about quite a bit. And he's like slowly moving up their ranks as a guy that this year could be one of those guys who comes out of nowhere that nobody's talking about right now, too, that could be a first-round quarterback this year. Last year at this time, what were we doing? Especially when the college season started, we were blowing Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
And now he's like 9th, 10th on like quarterback rankings for this coming year. People, especially the NFL people, don't seem to be sold on him being not even a first-round pick. So, you know, things can change rapidly. Like, I remember doing startups last year, Shedeur Sanders, everybody was hyping him up, trading him during the season when he was hitting like he was some elite asset. Is he really? I don't know.
I mean, the top-ranked quarterbacks from 2022, right? Like, we're 2 years into these guys now. We still don't know a lot. Drew Allar, question mark.
Shitty. Cade Klubnick.
Dog shit. Yeah. Connor Wegman, I've seen maybe as a first-round pick this upcoming year. But that's hurt. Maybe. Yeah, but that's what maybe. Ty Simpson, we've barely ever seen you. And Devin Brown, the little bit that I did get to see him, I was disgusted by the fact he wore 33 as a college quarterback. That was a horrible number. And then he played like shit, too.
Yeah, and then you had these elite guys, I think it was from last year's class, Malachi Nelson, already transferred. Dante Moore, already transferred. Like, these guys are already transferring. Like, I don't know, to me, like, if you transfer like that, it's not, like, the greatest sign in the world that you can't beat out the guy in front of you, especially, like, you mentioned Simpson. That's the one behind at Bama, right?
Yep.
And, you know, Jalen Milroe, I don't think he's that great. And Ty Simpson can't beat him out, so that's a little suspect for me already. Right. The only one who's kind of transferred early on and actually had, you know, some success recently was Burrow, obviously, and Justin Fields. Like, I can't really remember too many more that transferred like that early and really moved on to have great success.
Caleb's
another one. Yeah, I forgot him.
Transferred after his freshman year.
Yeah, but Penix, it took a couple years. Bo Nix wasn't great his first 17 years at Auburn. So, I mean, yeah, there's definitely some cases there, but just there's nobody in the college landscape that's standing out at quarterback for me. So that's kind of where I went in this draft, because I went with Lamar Jackson and Trevor Lawrence for my first two picks. So at least I'm pretty solid there. I got two young quarterbacks that I feel pretty good about. I don't have to necessarily grab, you know, Nico with one of my top picks from Tennessee or Carson Beck or Wegman or whoever.
Well, inevitably, I'm going to take some of those guys because I just have way too many picks in the first three rounds to not take them. But yeah, I didn't want to get burned, right? Like, say I take two or three of those guys and they may be good for college, but they don't pan out at the NFL level. I didn't want to sit there and have my NFL team going like, oh, I still don't have a quarterback, huh? Well, now I got to go pay the Pied Piper, right, to go buy one. So I didn't want to put myself in that position, so we took those two guys early. And then pretty much everything else was just, hey, you guys going to let me take all these college picks? I'm going to take as many as you'll let me have. We're going to try this out.
Yeah, that was one of my things, too, with it. I had to try and balance, like, oh, man, I want to take a couple of these college picks. But I'm like, there's some good NFL players still here, too, like, that are still young and good players. Now, lately, once we got to, like, round 10 here, I started to dig into some older guys. But, you know, I got Zay Flowers. I got T. Higgins. I got Pacheco. Like, I thought those guys are still young to where I can justify, you know, having those guys over some college kids. But then, yeah, like some of these older guys just fell way too far. Like, I thought Mike Evans, round 10, I got him. Stephon Diggs, round 12. Keenan Allen, I just took in round 15. And I hate Keenan Allen, but at round 15, I'm going to take him.
Right. It's just weird where we talked about last week, kind of throwing them college picks in there, making it a little bit more interesting. Like, some of these picks here in these later rounds, you're like, man, Ladd McConkey was a 9th round pick. Like, that's everybody's darling, right? Like, the lad is a 9th round pick, Xavier Worthy in the 8th round. It's just the way it works out. You throw those college picks into it, really threw a wrench into it. And all of a sudden, there's some teams in here that we got. They have really, really strong NFL side rosters. Really, really strong ones.
Yeah. Yeah. So, shout out to Chris Langsbury. I've mentioned his team in the chat. He's got Mahomes, McCaffrey, Tyreek Hill, Jonathan Taylor, Travis Kelce, Ken Walker, Stafford, Penix, Swift, Rashee Rice, Mixon, Russell Wilson, Hollywood Brown, he got in round 13, Deontay Johnson. So he's got this massive stack with Mahomes and Kelsey and Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown. Like, that team's going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, I mean, if Chris really wants to, I'll trade him Drake London, too. He can add to that. I'll just take his 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th round college startup picks. We'll be off to the races, man. Just throw them all in there. Fizz and I will make a deal for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm looking looking forward to the college side here. We still got some rounds here to go in the NFL side, but definitely excited to see the college side. We'll probably start here in a couple weeks, I'm guessing.
Yep.
And we'll report back when that starts and kind of talk about it some more. But
you and me got a big auction, live auction this weekend, Sunday.
Yeah.
Dogs are excited about it.
They're excited. They're barking for it. They're excited for you to quarterback horde. They're excited, man.
They're ready for it. They're ready for me to do it again.
Yeah, they're ready for you to take 17 quarterbacks again. It's going to be great. But yeah, no, that's going to be fun. It's different than the last one we did. Shout out to Dynasty Barry. He made a league that's basically three leagues in one, and you got to kind of try and win all three leagues if you can. And then each league is set up with different settings, so it's going to be this one's more like wide receiver heavy and quarterback heavy. So this one's going to be interesting. Last one was running back heavy, so interested to see how some of the prices go. I have the sheet saved from last time about how some of the auction prices go, so I'll keep an eye on that as the auction is going, and then see what these current values are going for too. Because I mean, information has changed. Like, people have gotten better takes on some of these guys too.
Well, yeah. Well, if you think about it too, the last one we did was before the NFL draft, like, so before landing spots were determined, and that was a big thing for me, at least how I built my team. Right, you and I talked about it afterwards. You know, I got some deals on Jaden Daniels and JJ McCarthy relative because we had an idea maybe they were going first round, but it was not a sure thing at all. And then, lo and behold, NFL draft happens, and now their values have gone up since then. So I could pretty much tell you that they're not going for $30 or $25 or whatever the hell they went for in that draft anymore. Like, those days are gone. And if you do let me get them for those again, thank you very much, kindly appreciate y'all.
I don't see Jaden going for double digit numbers. I think that's going to be the triple digits.
You think so? I think you're right. Yeah. I think it might be a 101, 102 kind of deal.
Yeah, I agree. So yeah, that's coming up this Sunday. That'll be fun. But on today's episode, I kind of wanted to rehash your video that you put out this week. It was a good one. If you guys haven't checked it out, go on to YouTube, search for South Harmon FF. It's on there. But some Dynasty trash can buys basically right now that people are just undervaluing. So I thought it was a really good video. You had Tyler Lockett, Gabe Davis, and Chuba Hubbard on there. So those were three really good buys. Kind of just looking at keep trade cuts rankings and doing some of these underdog drafts and see where I see these guys go to. I definitely wanted to bring up some more guys because it really got me thinking. Because you had some good ones here, like Lockett is wide receiver 77, and like you showed some of the trades that he was going like for a third. I think one league he went for like a 407.
Yep.
Like, if these guys are this cheap, I want to buy them. You know, I think it's only for certain leagues though. I have to be one a contender.
Yep.
And I think these are going to be guys that you want to get in start 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, whatever. Some of these crazy leagues that we come up with. I think that's where you want to kind of target these guys, best ball or lineup, honestly. So we're going to kind of go over some more of those today and kind of talk about some of them. Because I think there's some even more ones that are kind of egregious out there that I think could be really good this year.
And some of them, you know, maybe even like start nine lineup leagues that you can make a case just as you might get a couple spot starts. But as you go down in the number of starters, obviously, your interest becomes a little bit less. You're aiming for superstars. You really are. And that's how you should build those teams. But start 10 plus, yeah, by all means, man, get those guys on. Start nine, start eight, some of these older leagues. I'm with you, Eric. I probably look at those and go, nah, I'm kind of good, man. I might hold that third just to get a grease piece to get me Jamar Chase or Amon-Ra St. Brown, something like that, instead of wasting it on a Tyler Lockett.
Right. It kind of reminds me of the scene from Moneyball where Brad Pitt's talking to the David Justice character. He's like, I want to get the last bit of baseball out of these guys. And a lot of these guys are the older side of guys. So I want to get the last bit of football out of these guys. And I've been very guilty of it. I am anti. I don't want anybody that's like 30 years old or older on my teams. But I've come to, I think I was too harsh on that. I think it's, like, you just look at Travis Kelce, you look at Devontae Adams, some of these guys who are in their mid-30s, still playing and still producing at a high level. Like, Keenan Allen's another one that's, you know, he's older. He's wide receiver 52 at 32 years old. That's a great buy right now, especially for the prices that you could probably get him at. Like, I think he's savvy enough to where he could still probably play another 2 to 3 years. And if you can get that kind of production for this cheap, why not? So, like, I think that's a guy, like, on certain teams where I'm a contender, these are the kind of guys I want to buy. So, yeah, Keenan Allen was one of my first ones at wide receiver 52. What do you think about Keenan?
I can get behind Keenan. We did clown a trade with Keenan Allen a few times. But that's because somebody was paying a first for Keenan Allen.
Right.
Like, come on. Come on. And I'm with you. I don't even know if I'd really be comfortable paying a second, right, just because of the advanced age. But once you start to get in that third range, right, where I'm really just using these as juice pieces, if I use them in the season, I'm using those picks to buy spot start running backs who have terrible profiles, but I know they're starting for a game. Why not do it with a guy like Keenan Allen, right? Not a roster clogger wide receiver, and you know there's going to be 3 or 4 weeks probably during the season you can plug him in with confidence, and he's probably going to deliver for you. Now, it's not going to be Justin Herbert 700 pass attempt Keenan Allen back in the day where, you know, he knew he was a threat for 20 points, but, hey, you know, 10 to 15 points, if I kind of just pencil that in sometimes, I can get behind buying Keenan Allen, and I'm sure he's dirt cheap too. Other than the first trade that we mocked, that I ridiculed. Like, what are we doing here? First for Keenan Allen? Stop it.
Right, yeah, that's a little egregious. But even just looking at his PFF grade last year, he was an 86.3. He was 11th of 128 qualified wide receivers in the NFL last year. You look at his PFF grade per game, like, they are high 70s to mid-80s or sometimes high-80s every single game. So, to me, that just screams that he's not, like, cooked. Like, I can still get some production out of this guy, even though he's 32. I bet I can get another 2 to 3 years out of this guy, and I bet he still plays that long, I would assume.
Well, he's got a good profile, too, right? You'd be scared if he was already on the Bears and then Caleb Williams kind of came in. Right, like you'd be a little bit more have trepidation of it, but the Bears thought enough for him to bring him in, and they brought him in for the rookie quarterback to kind of give him that ability, right? Like he's not Julio Jones type archetype where he won on athleticism. Keenan Allen wins with savviness and route running ability and the ability to get open, and a lot of rookie quarterbacks really struggle to throw the football unless they can see somebody open. So it's almost the perfect marriage between the two with Caleb Williams with a rookie quarterback because Keenan's going to be open and he's going to be able to trust him. Like Keenan wide open, throw the football. It's an easy read. He doesn't really need all that. That time to gel, right? He doesn't need all that time to kind of get on the same page because rookie quarterbacks tend to be more of those see it, throw it kind of guys, especially early on in their career. And Keenan Allen is a see-it-throw-it quarterback's best friend because he's almost always open. Almost always open.
And we always talk about receivers earn their targets. He had 145 targets last year, which was 10th in the league. Still caught 108 balls, 1,243 yards, 7 touchdowns. Passer rating when targeted, 110.2. You don't think that's going to be a quarterback's best friend, especially a rookie?
Yeah.
He should still do really well. Like, am I expecting 100 and 1,200 again? No. But if he gets me 80 and 1,000, I'm happy with that for these prices that I could probably get him at.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I don't think I think a second might be too much, but a third's probably too little, so you probably have to add somebody to it. Why not, like, add one of these, like, Marvin Mims in a third? you know, Jacoby Myers in the third, somebody like that to get him.
I got some trades off the lab for him. The first one I found was Keenan Allen for Dalton Schultz.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
I ask you, Eric, like, how big would that tight end premium have to be before you'd favor Dalton Schultz in that deal?
Probably a 2.
2-point tight end premium?
2-point, I'd probably take him, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, 0.5, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Get out. This one was, like, Tyler Allgeier, a 4th and a 3rd
for Keenan Allen. Yeah, I'll take Keenan Allen on that side.
Scrolling down, I mean, usually he's part of bigger deals. We just did a video on this guy, and I like him because of his production, but Deebo Samuel for Keenan Allen in the 208.
I don't like. I think at the end of the day, like, if you look at just their stats and you don't look at their age or any of their stuff, like, their stats, Keenan Allen could easily beat Deebo Samuel, and you're getting a second on top of it.
Yeah,
I don't mind that at all.
You're getting a second in the range of what Trey Benson, Xavier Leggett, mm-hmm. Ricky Pearsall. Maybe
yeah.
Something there. Yeah. Sign me up for that one. I'll make that 2-for-1 bet. I like Deebo too, and I think he's actually kind of a little bit of buy because people tend to just ignore Deebo. But for that, I mean, the tier difference isn't too far apart. If you're giving me a second, especially in this class, fuck yeah, I'm hopping on board. I think even if that's a 25-second, I think I'd do it.
Yeah, I'd say even a 25-second, I'm still doing it.
Here it is, Keenan Allen for a 3rd.
Yeah.
Just a random 25-3rd. Yep. So get Keenan Allen off my team. And for that price, I'm all in. I think the second might be a little bit rich. Let's just ask, if you didn't have a rookie draft yet, you still had these picks, knowing kind of what we know about rookies, what would be the pick number? Like, where you're like, here I'm in, otherwise I'm probably not.
Yeah, I'd probably say that, like, 212, 301, 302 range. I guess it would just depend on who's there, but, like, Jermaine Burton or him, I'll take Keenan Allen.
There you go. Yep. Something that's like a fair one. Or one of those running backs. You know, I like Marshawn Lloyd and Jalen Wright too, but Keenan Allen's probably a little bit better bet, to be completely honest, as far as usability.
Especially if you're a contender and you're going to use him that year. So, yeah, so he was definitely one of the first ones that came to my mind when I was looking at this list. Another one that was on there, I'm going to pull up his. So you were talking about Tyler Lockett. He was at wide receiver 77. I found one a couple spots down that I think's even better, and that's wide receiver 83, Brandon Cooks for Dallas.
Oh yeah.
Like, I think this is the same principles kind of apply to what you were going with Lockett, to get Brandon Cooks, because literally, what does Dallas have? CD Lamb, Jake Ferguson, that's it. Brandon Cooks is going to get a lot of work this year.
They don't even have Tony Pollard to be, like, that big threat out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought Rico Dowdle's nice, but there's reports of, like, Deuce Vaughn playing slot receiver.
Right. Jalen Tolbert, who hasn't done anything yet.
He's special teams maven. Like, who gives a shit about these other guys? It's Brandon Cooks and nobody else. And it's an offense that we saw, you know, right around the bye week last week, just flip that fucking switch and go, we're going to throw the fucking piss out of the ball. And CeeDee Lamb, 8. But, you know, I don't give a shit if CeeDee Lamb got 200 targets this year, Eric. There's still, like, 200, 300 targets that got to go to somebody else, right? Like, at least. That's even if they're only, like, a 500 pass attempt team, which they're going to be closer to 700 by the end of the season. So there's a shit ton of targets to, like, go around, and they got to go to somebody. Why not Brandon Cooks?
Right, exactly. He had 82 targets last year, which I expect that number to go up. He's going to be in the hundreds this year. And no Michael Gallup again, too. 55 catches, 660 yards last year. Not very good, but I expect all those numbers to increase. 8 touchdowns might be a little rich, but would it surprise me if he had 8 touchdowns again? No. He only had 1 drop. Passer rating when targeted, 103.7, so he's still getting it done whenever he's targeted. And he's lower than, like I said, Tyler Lockett. This team's going to have to throw. Can they rely on, you know, an older Zeke Elliott or Rico Dowdle? They didn't invest in this running game at all. So I could see this team having a pass. You know, this could be Dak's year where he leads the league in pass attempts or is in the top 5.
Yeah.
So I Brandon Cooks is a screaming buy to me right now. Underdog, I can't stop drafting him. That's how much I like him for this year.
So here's a great thing. I love the warp tool for this. Just looking at last year warp on that quarterback test league, I used it and cited it in the video what the warp was for, like, Tyler Lockett being wide receiver 36, etc. If I just look at week 7 on, when Dallas, like, really flipped that switch on their passing game, Brandon Cooks was wide receiver 33 in warp. 33.
Yeah, and that was after their bye. Week 8 on was after their bye.
So here's the list of guys below Brandon Cooks in warp from week 7 on last year. George Pickens, Tyler Lockett, Cooper Kupp, T. Higgins, Jacoby Myers, JSN, Drake London, right? Romeo Dobbs, Noah Brown, Adam Thielen, Christian Watson. Like, these are the kind of ranges you are, but there's some big name dudes in there. Like, he is neck and neck with what Stephon Diggs was doing from week 7 on. Deontay Johnson, etc. That's what you're getting. And what, he's in the 80s, Eric? He's in the fucking 80s?
83rd, yeah.
If you think you can get Tyler Lockett for a third-round pick or a fourth-round pick like I showed, I guarantee you can get Brandon Cooks for that or less, because he's even more of an afterthought.
Yeah, and he is, just had it up, he's 30 years old, 30 and a half right now. So he's right in that threshold, but that dudes can still play, man.
It feels like he's like 36, don't it?
It does, yeah. Because I remember whatever it was 3 or 4 years ago, when he kept having all those concussion issues, and I wanted nothing to do with him. And that was like 4 years ago, and he hasn't had a concussion since.
Like, he gets one more concussion, he's done.
Yeah.
Now, how about this one? Hey, I don't know how you feel about this one, but Jameson Williams for Brandon Cooks in a second.
Yeah, I'd take Cooks in a second. I think that's fair. I mean, I'm one of the biggest JMO fans out there. Yeah, that was my wide receiver two in that class. You know, injury the first year. Last year wasn't that great until the end, but he hasn't proven himself to be a super stud or anything.
How about two super crusties here, and you just package them together? 25-second for Geno Smith and Brandon Cooks.
Wow, whoever won that, congratulations.
Right, you get the quarterback just as your third guy, and you get a Brandon Cooks to probably put in your lineup. As a contender, I'm doing that.
A fake 25-second that you don't know where it's going to land up, yeah.
Absolutely. If you're hesitant about the third, right, this deal got done, a 25-third for Brandon Cooks and a 25-4th.
Easy Cooks, yeah.
You trade down one round and you get Brandon Cooks just tossed in. Yep. You get Brandon Cooks really, really cheap. Nobody seems to give a shit.
No, not at all. Let's see, some other guys on here. So here's another one that I think is...
Oh, I got the creme de la creme, because this did happen. It's real trade.
Sure.
Brandon Cooks for 25-5th.
Holy shit.
That better be a fucking IDP league where that fifth, you know, actually means something. Like one of these crazy IDP scoring leagues I'm in where you're like, fifth round, I might get a good edge rusher that'll score 15 fantasy points per game. Whatever.
Yeah. That's highway robbery for sure.
That's fucking stupid.
One of the other ones I can't stop drafting on Underdog. He is 33.8, so he's pretty up there. He probably only has maybe a year or two left, but he still had a really damn good year last year. Wide receiver 95, Adam Thielen.
Why not?
Guy caught 100 balls last year, and he's wide receiver 95.
They hate him.
Yeah. I mean, it's just because of the age. Like, I get it, but the guy was... he had a PFF rating last year of 72.7, which was 44th of 128 wide receivers. Just receiving grade, it was a 75.3, 34th of 126 wide receivers. The guy can still get it done.
If we're projecting that Canales makes that offense better, makes Bryce Young better, that was last year's dog shit offense where he put those numbers up. And I get it. Deontay Johnson's in town now. But you got to do a lot of mental gymnastics to think that Adam Thielen's not going to be involved at all, which also involves you thinking Jatavion Sanders is a rookie tight end with not great NFL draft capital and not a great RAS score, to be completely honest. It's actually pretty piss poor if you go look at it. Jatavion Sanders has to do something in his rookie year at a tight end, which even the great ones have a tough time doing. You also have to think that fifth-year breakout, which I love the guy to death, Xavier Leggett, but you have to think fifth-year breakout Xavier Leggett is also going to be a problem. And then that leaves almost nothing for Adam Thielen. Now, if you can't hit all those check boxes, Adam Thielen is going to catch 50, 60 passes this year at some point. Like, it's going to happen.
Yeah. So here's his numbers from last year. I know it was a dog shit offense, but still. He got 136 targets he earned last year, which was 13th in the NFL. He had 103 catches. Wide receiver 95 has 103 catches.
Yeah.
1,014 yards, 4 touchdowns. Passer rating when targeted was 103. 9.8 yards per catch.
He was
getting a first down every catch.
Here's your creme de la creme. Adam Thielen for the 412. Adam Thielen for a random fourth.
Yep.
Trey McBride for Mark Andrews and Adam Thielen. Like, give me the tear down at tight end there.
Yeah, and you get a free Adam Thielen.
In reality, Mark Andrews could outscore Trey McBride. I love that kind of bet. Like, sneak Adam Thielen in on deals like that all the time.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about him.
Now, like you said, Deontay's there now. Leggett's there. Tavian Sanders. So, yeah, there's going to be some more competition than there was last year. Am I expecting him to have 100 catches again? No. Guarantee you Thielen's going to be 75, 80 catches. Probably 800 to 1,000 yards. Probably catch a couple touchdowns again. Already has a working relationship with Bryce Young. You know, and look at Canales' offense. What will, you know, he had Mike Evans last year. You know, that could be Deontay running the X receiver stuff. You know, playing the slot and all that. That's what Godwin did. That's what Thielen's going to do. Like, you know, Godwin didn't have a massive year, but it's pretty damn close to what Thielen's looked like. It was like, I think Godwin had 92 for 1,000, couple yards, 3 touchdowns. It's probably the same thing Thielen can do. So I think Adam Thielen kind of fits this same type of offense that Canales is going to run there. Already has a connection with the quarterback. And like I said, he's wide receiver 95. He's dirt cheap. You're probably only going to need him for another year or two, but if you're a contender, start 12, start 13 league, there's why not?
Adam Thielen, Deontay Foreman for Rico Dowdle.
I like both of those players over Dowdle. Like, straight up, if I did one for one, I like both of those players over him.
I love these deals, man. Oh, that makes me smile. There's a ton. 27th, 4th, or Adam Thielen.
Yeah, he might be dead by then.
Very well could be. Very well could be. I love these. These are amazing. Just looking at these trades, man. Adam Thielen's an afterthought. You can get him for free as a toss-in. You really can.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was just another guy that I saw on this list. Especially like when I do underdog drafts and he goes in like round 12, 13, 14, constantly. I'm like, this guy's like just like an auto pick this late. So it's pretty crazy.
To snatch him up, say thank you.
Yeah. Another one that's kind of an afterthought, Zay Jones, right behind him, wide receiver 96. That's probably another guy I'll take a shot on, especially going to Arizona. The wide receiver 2 is Michael Wilson, who we both like. But it's no guarantee that he's going to be the number 2 there. Kyler Murray has had success with multiple wide receivers, so Zay Jones, why not? I'll take a shot at him, too.
Do you think Zay Jones is better than Greg Dortch?
Yes.
I would say so, too.
I like Dortch. I like the limited spots he's done, but it's not like he's... Zay Jones has proven in the NFL couple years now that he can play.
They have a need for wide receivers opposite of Marvin Harrison. Yep. Definitely. And the room doesn't scream like, oh my God, Zay Jones isn't going to get any work.
Yeah. Last year he had some injuries, so it wasn't as good. Let me see if I can bring up his 2022. Here it is.
His 22 is really, really good.
Yeah. So he had 82 catches for 823 yards, 5 touchdowns. I could expect him to kind of do similar things this year. He had 117 targets in 2022. I could see him getting up to the 90 range in targets. I don't know about 82 catches, but I bet you 60. Can he get me close to that 800 yards? He's going to probably get 5 touchdowns again. That's another guy, dirt cheap, that you can probably get thrown in.
You might even find Zay Jones on waivers.
Yeah, definitely.
You might even find him on waivers, to be completely honest. The trades that I pulled up, there's a lot of Trey Tucker trades with Seth Jones. I don't know why. What is this with fucking Trey Tucker? This is 2 days now. Just looking at trades. I see Trey Tucker.
Yeah, what was the other one? You had, wasn't that Gabe Davis for Trey Tucker?
Yeah. What am I missing with fucking Trey Tucker? Somebody help me.
Yeah, like
Cincinnati fans. Is that what they are? Like they're Cincinnati Bearcat fans.
He was behind Tyler Scott at Cincinnati. Tyler Scott was the more decorated wide receiver, and Trey Tucker went ahead of him. But that was like it. That was the only thing I could take away from it. Like I liked Tyler Scott a lot better than Trey Tucker, so I don't get all the Trey Tucker love.
Mm-mm.
I mean, no. Trey Tucker's actually wide receiver 105 on Keep Trade Cut.
Zay Jones or Brevin Jordan?
Zay Jones, at least he's playing.
Well, Brevin Jordan's what, the seventh option?
And now he's the third tight end because they drafted Stover.
That's true. The legend of Cade Stover. Oh. He's fucked. He's over.
So he's on there. Here's another one. Wide receiver 108, Darius Slayton.
Oh, my.
I mean, I don't love Darius Slayton, but at that price, hell, I'll take a shot.
This is the same thing I'm talking about with Malik Nabers. Look, I don't give a fuck who the quarterback is. It could be Zach Wilson. He could come back. It could be Auburn Bo Nix. Could be that quarterback. Malik Nabers is just going to get peppered with targets because there's nobody else there. Yeah. Like, Wanda Robinson's okay, yeah, I guess.
I like him.
Daniel Bellinger's okay. Darius Slayton. It's the end of the list. Name me another fucking receiver on the Giants.
Yeah, Allen Robinson, the corpse.
I forgot Allen Robinson was on the Giants. Yeah, that's it. I don't know anybody else, Eric. Did they bring back Hodgins for a year?
Hodgins is there. Oh, Jesus Robinson's Christ. There. Here, I just had the whole list up. I'll pull it up here. they have Bryce Ford Wheaton from last year, Dennis Hutton, Jalen Hyatt, Slayton, John Giles, Allen Robinson, Miles Boykin is still alive.
What?
Yeah. Malik Nabers, Isaiah Hodgins, Isaiah McKenzie they brought in,
Gunnar Olszewski,
and Wandale Robinson.
Do you ever see that Stephen A. Smith segment where they ask him, like, who does he play for? It's for NBA stuff, usually.
Okay.
Like, what team they're on. We could have our own. Like, who's this guy play for? You just throw out some of those random fucking wide receiver names. Like, Isaiah McKenzie. Who does he play for? Never would have guessed the Giants, Eric. Never in a million fucking years. Yeah, I'd be like, I don't know, Calgary Stampeders.
There you go. I mean, just looking at Slayton's stats from last year, 76 targets, 50 catches, 769 yards, 4 touchdowns, 105.6 when targeted, 15.4 yards per catch last year. And he's wide receiver 105 on Keep Trade Cut. Another guy. And he's 27, so it's not like he's ancient and dog shit. Guy can still play.
He's got rapport with Daniel Jones, too. He really does.
He constantly beats his projections, too.
Didn't him and Daniel Jones come in together as rookies?
Yeah. I believe they did. I think that's when Slayton had his big first year.
Yep.
But he's constantly always producing, and another guy you can get for dog cheap for these fourth-round picks, probably third-round picks, just to kind of bolster your depth, especially on, like, best ball teams, like lineup leagues. Probably never going to start Darius Slayton. Outside of, like, massive bye week apocalypse or something like that. But, like, I bet you Slayton's going to start in your league 3 or 4 times a year on a best ball team.
Yeah, he costs a fourth rounder here, a fifth rounder, the 505. You get Tyler Boyd and Darius Slayton for a fourth.
Yeah. I mean, here's just some of his last 3 games of last year. 3 for 90 in a touchdown, 4 for 106 touchdown, 5 for 62 in a touchdown. Like, those are in your lineup. A guy scoring a touchdown, he's probably in your lineup that week.
Yep.
So that's another guy that you can get dog shit fucking cheap right now.
I think maybe you could do the mental gymnastics if you said, wow, they're not going to be able to throw the football, so they're going to run the ball. Behind that shitty-ass offensive line and Devin Singletary as your number one running back, you think you're running the fucking football 35 times a game? No, really?
Not at all.
Really? Singletary be dead by halftime of week one. He would just be dead.
Right, yeah. That's probably what's going to happen. So some other guys on here. I haven't heard too much buzz on him lately because he is coming back from the injury. But what do you think about Kendrick Bourne? He's wide receiver 101.
At that price? For damn near free? Yes. Yeah, I've seen him dropped in leagues, yeah. And I'll pick him up. Mm-hmm. Lineup leagues, I probably don't want to touch him, to be honest, just because if he does something, maybe. Or if I got depth or whatever, I got enough roster spots, maybe I could put him on there. But in reality, he might just end up being a roster clogger. But in best ball, I know it's coming off an ACL, but kind of like the Giants, man. Who the fuck really scares you in that passing game? I like Jalen Polk, but Jesus, man.
Yeah, I mean, Polk and May, sounds like they've been working well together so far. Yeah. But after that, I mean, just kind of, I'll pull up the Patriots wide receiver corpse here, too.
Big pedigree, right?
I mean, DeMario Douglas, I like. Kayshon Boutte, no thanks. Javon Baker is a fourth-round rookie. Juju's half dead. Jalen Polk is nice. KJ Osborne, he was dog shit last year. 111th of 128 wide receivers in PFF rating. Jalen Reagor, dead. Kendrick Bourne, still good. Tyquan Thornton's terrible. I mean, there's not too much there. I mean, it's literally, if I was starting, it would be Polk and Polk, Douglas, and Kendrick Bourne would be my top three, and that's probably what it's going to be.
Yep. And if Kendrick Bourne has a decent recovery from that knee injury, right, that's a guy we've seen be explosive down the field, which
yeah.
Polk kind of does. Pop Douglas, not so much. He's just a natural fit for down the field guy. You'd like it to be Tyquan Thornton, but like you said, he just fucking sucks.
Yeah. I mean, so he only played in eight games last year before he tore his ACL in the eighth game. He actually had 3 for 36 and a touchdown before he left that game. But yeah, in eight games, he had 37 catches, 406 yards, and 4 touchdowns. He's definitely the first game of the year. He had 6 for 64 and 2 touchdowns against Philly. 6 for 63 and a touchdown, 10 for 89 in a game. So he's definitely in your lineups last year for sure in best ball.
Yeah. Well, we didn't even mention Juju.
I mentioned him, but I was the corpse of him. He's half dead.
Well, maybe he did some HGH or some platelet-rich plasma therapy this offseason. I don't know. Maybe he got a bionic knee. Something. Might be back.
Here's another very interesting one. I've gotten a lot of him off of waiver wires for free just to kind of take a shot. Chase Claypool for the Bills. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you and I talked about him when we did the AFC rosters, went through him. That's a guy. Why not? Why not throw a shot at him?
111.
Yep. Why not? That's a free one. Yeah. I'm not going to say go out and trade for him, but, get him as a toss-in. Pick him up off waivers. If he doesn't make the team or doesn't do shit in training camp, just fucking cut him. Move on.
Yep. Pick up some
Pick up some running back who you like who got put on a practice squad and just sit there and wait for him to be the first call-up or something like that.
Yeah. Reynolds for Denver. Signed him.
Reynolds is Reynolds is a good one that I've been pretty high on, trying to get on my team.
Wide receiver 113.
Because there's no way else. Yeah, it's no Cortland Sutton's still there. Marvin Mims was dog shit, though people don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Might be nothing. They brought in Josh Reynolds for a reason, and Reynolds has always been sneaky productive. Yeah. I don't think he's super great or anything, but he's always been sneaky productive, so why not?
Michael Gallup, do you think he's dead?
Probably. I believed in him last year, and then he burned me again, and he just never really looked like Michael Gallup. You hoped after one year after the ACL he was going to be Michael Gallup again, and he never was. So maybe that's why Trey Tucker's getting pushed up, because it's Jacoby Myers, it's Davante Adams, and then it's Trey Tucker,
yeah.
I guess. And they brought in Brock Bowers. I don't think Michael Mayer is completely dead. So if it's more of a two tight end look, or Brock Bowers playing in the slot some, when the fuck's Michael Gallup getting on the field? He kind of feels like maybe he's a guy who might not even make it out of training camp on the roster, because he's not a special teams guy. Trey Tucker at least returned kicks or something for him. I don't know. I like him. I can't quit him fully. I still got him on some rosters, but Let's just say that light is getting pretty faded. It's really dim. Got to change the battery soon.
How about this one? This one kind of just shocked me when I looked at it. Wide receiver, 128, DeMarcus Robinson for the Rams.
See, this is a tough one for me because I have so much goddamn Jordan Whittington. Right. Every time I keep a DeMarcus Robinson on my team, I feel like I'm betting against myself. Not that I think Jordan Whittington's so good because I got him for free everywhere. But DeMarcus Robinson was sneakily good last year. And especially for best ball, that was like an integral part to a lot of my championships last year in best ball, was DeMarcus fucking Robinson making my lineup what he shouldn't.
So he only played from week 9 to 17.
Yep.
He had 26 catches, 371 yards, and 4 touchdowns.
He was good. He was good.
And, I mean, he was really good last year for them. And, like I said, he's wide receiver, 128.
Yeah, so if I look on the Warp Tool, just those weeks, 9 to 17, DeMarcus Robinson was wide receiver 48.
Right.
And you just said he's 128.
Yeah, and like you were making a video about Tyler Lockett and Gabe Davis as wide receiver 55, and that was egregious. Here, let's double that, and here's DeMarcus Robinson at 128.
Again, another guy that you can find on waivers if he's down this far. And I might have cut a few and then regretted it, maybe picked him back up. But listen, part of me really wants DeMarcus Robinson to be a thing because I got him on some roster still, again. And I'm with you. I think for you normal people out there, do it. I'm just telling you, I always feel bad when I have him on my team because I'm like, I'm betting against all this Jordan Whittington I have, even though Whittington might be ass and never do anything.
Right. So I'm going to switch gears to some running backs that are way too low, in my opinion. So I think Ty Chandler at running back 53, it's just Aaron Jones in front of him. They didn't bring in anybody in that running back room other than Jones. So it's Ty Chandler and Aaron Jones together, and that's it. Ty Chandler will be definitely somebody I'll be picking up.
I have no idea why he's down so far. I mean, Audric Estime, Braylon Allen, Keaton Mitchell. Like, all these guys above Ty Chandler. Jaleel McLaughlin. I know, like, he's the darling. But fucking Ty Chandler did more last year than Jaleel McLaughlin did.
Yeah.
In his limited time. He really did.
There's one guy I'm looking for specifically. He might be on page 3. Yes, he is on page 3. Running back 102. And me and Scott Connor were talking about this a little bit today. Samaje Perine at running back 102.
Hey.
With all these rumors of, Jaleel McLaughlin's going to, or Javonte Williams is going to get cut and blah, blah, blah. First off, Javonte Williams isn't getting cut. Like, it just doesn't make fiscal sense to cut a guy on his rookie deal still. Although it's his last year on the rookie deal, like, it makes no sense to just cut that guy.
Yep.
And he was a second-round pick, so it's not like he's making a ton of money here. Still really talented running back. This is going to be his second year off of that major knee surgery, and usually his second year is when people get better. I don't know why Jaleel McLaughlin's running ahead of him in training or OTAs and stuff and minicamps. Like, it's OTAs and minicamps. First off, I don't give a shit where guys are kind of if somebody's playing ahead of him. They're probably just resting Javonte and not overworking him this early. Let Jaleel McLaughlin, who's young, and these other guys get some playing time. Estime is hurt right now. I don't think he's been practicing. But, I mean, if they really are worried about Javonte, like, I think there are going to be 4 or 5 running backs for Denver that get playing time this year. And maybe they just go with the hot hand. And why not, like, a guy like Samaje Perine, who's running back 102, so you can get him for free.
He is the cheapest of all the Denver running backs. Exactly. And that includes Blake Watson. Which you and I are interested in Blake Watson, right?
Yeah, I love him.
But how the fuck is Samaje Perine just by default? Like, even he's 12 spots behind Blake Watson.
He was, how about this? He was 31st of 59 among halfbacks PFF grade. What was his receiving grade for running backs last year? 81, third in the entire NFL of 56 running backs last year. So you're going to tell me that he's not going to be used in especially with Denver that has a very heavy analytics team there. I know they have their own analytics team in the building. I've seen it on their documentary show that they've done on YouTube before. Like, they have their own, like, they don't know this. Of course they know this. He's going to be heavily involved in the pass game, I bet. And he's, like I said, he's dirt cheap. Another guy that I could just throw in, and he's probably going to have a couple weeks there for me where he ends up being a starter on my best ball team.
What's ball next to? Check down.
Check down.
Check down.
Screen pass. Check down.
Last year, Samaje Perine was 17th in running backs in target share. Now they've lost Jerry Jeudy, and they brought in a rookie quarterback who loves to check down. If Samaje Perine survives, makes the roster, and has a role on this team because he's the vet and he's trusted and they want to help their rookie quarterback out, you don't think Samaje Perine, that target share is going up like 15%? Maybe he's somewhere in the top 10 in running back target share. And he did that last year. He gave you 7 fantasy points per game, Eric, which isn't like crazy, but he already kind of gives me just a little bit of a floor. And if you're talking, if something happens to Javonte, right, that NERB on a 53 mentality, you get a couple spot starts out of Samaje Perine for nothing. Nothing right now. Pick him up for free. People cut this dude everywhere.
Yep. So last year, just receiving the ball, he had 50 catches for 455 yards in a normal league. That's 95.5 points. Just in fantasy points last year. Just in receiving. That's not counting touchdowns, what he did in the rushing game or anything like that. Just catching the ball. 50 catches for 455 yards and a touchdown. Like, I would bet he's probably going to be somewhere similar again this year with Bo Nix.
Underdoggies, RB79.
He never gets drafted on underdog drafts. I took a couple Audric Estimates today just because of, you know, all this, the rumors. Like, I don't know. Maybe Javonte is going to get cut. I don't know for a fact. I don't think he will, but it kind of leads me to believe that maybe this is going to be a more of a committee than I think it's going to be. So I want to get some Perine. I want to get some Estimate. McLaughlin, obviously. McLaughlin is the one who's starting to creep up, and Javonte's dropping because of all the news. But I think it could be all these guys. And then Blake Watson, who I really like too. Like, they can end up keeping 5 running backs on this team. And, you know, Sean Payton doesn't mind keeping UDFA running backs. He just did it with McLaughlin. He had Pierre Thomas for a long time in New Orleans. He had Chris Ivory. You know, Estime could be his Chris Ivory this year. Who knows? So that's, you know, just a couple of the guys that I've seen here. That's pretty deep. Looking at some other guys on the running back side that I think are under, like, wide running back 64 is Zeke. It's going to be the fucking starter for the Cowboys. I'll take a year or two of Zeke.
Yes, yes.
I mean, even just for a year, like, that dude could walk into 1,000 yards probably this year. Just because they don't, you know, it's Dowdle, who's been hurt 17 times in his career, and he stayed healthy finally. Who's after that? There isn't anybody.
How about RB69 Evan Hall?
Yeah,
towards ACL early in the season. Who's really backing up Jonathan Taylor?
No, he didn't. He didn't tear his ACL. He tore. I just read about it. But he had like kind of like a rare injury that was that happened to him. But it wasn't an ACL though.
Tore his MCL.
Well, MCL, okay. But yeah, it was like a certain type of tear that I was reading. Like, that's why it took him so long to get back from it. I'd have to research it. But I've seen like Trey Sermon has been running as the 2 in camp right now, and so it sounds like Sermon might be the backup, but I think Evan Hall is more talented than him. But sure. Even so, like, Hall is running back 69 and Sermon is running back 75. Like, they're both not very expensive.
That's the direct handcuff though. Like, one of those guys that was going to be backing up Jonathan Taylor.
Yep, exactly.
And to be down that far for both of them is really egregious. We really don't know who the hell it's going to be. But you got other like backup running backs way, way higher on the list. You got some guys on that list, Keep Trade Cut rank somewhere. It's like, you guys are valuing him like he's going to get 60% opportunity out the gates, and it just isn't happening. What the fuck is this?
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, there's some guys on here like, you know, Tank Bigsby still, I mean, it's not high, but running back 59, Bucky Irving's running back 52. Some other ones that I noticed on here, another guy that I would buy for cheap, running back 81, Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Why not?
Signed back for a year with the Chiefs. If Pacheco goes down, who else do they got? They don't have anybody.
He's the ultimate best ball running back. It's a weird thing to say, ain't it? But it's a best ball running back. Because he's done it multiple years in a row now where you're like, ugh, Clyde, like they just won't use him. And then he goes out and catches like 2 touchdown passes. What the fuck?
Yeah.
He catches like 2 shovel passes from Patrick Mahomes. And all of a sudden he's like a top 12 running back on the week. And you go, what the fuck happened here?
Yeah. I mean, just look at this is some mind-blowing shit here. So kind of goes back to our first conversation. He was Samaje Perine, running back 101. Running back 85, Malik Davis. Why? Running back 86, Isaiah Spiller. Why? Running back 87, Zach Evans. Why?
These dudes are dead.
Yeah. Dwayne McBride, running back 88. Why? How about this? Fucking guy who came over from rugby, Luis Rhys-Zamet, running back 93 above Samaje Perine. Never played a fucking down in the NFL, and he's hiring Samaje Perine.
Oh, man.
Like, Amari DeMercado is behind the Rhys-Zamet. And DeMercado actually had some games last year. Michael Carter is down here, running back 98. Kenny McIntosh, who was injured last year. Georgia running back, RB 99.
Good Lord.
Yeah, there's just so many guys. Like, if you can just comb down here and you can get for literally just toss-ins or free off the waiver wires. That's why I thought this was such a great topic to kind of look at some of these guys that are so far down here that shouldn't be.
You know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire had a 20-point week last year.
Yeah, I remember Pacheco was out, and he started, yeah.
A 20-point week. And 4 catches for 101 yards and a touchdown.
Wasn't it against the Eagles?
Patriots.
Patriots. Week 15. That's what it was.
101 total yards, excuse me. Not just catches, but 4 catches, 101 total yards, and 1 touchdown. 20 yeah, fantasy points, RB9 on the week.
I remember, you said what week was that, 15?
15.
So that was right in the middle of FFPC playoffs, and Scott Connor was one of the guys I was going for $1 million, and he started Clyde Edwards-Helaire that week and got him, you know, one step closer to winning $1 million. And so he had to debate on whether to start in week 16. I don't remember what his week 16 was. But yeah, that's another guy, like, they're literally one step away from being the star. Again, on their team, and they're down this far.
Why the fuck is Chris Evans still on this list in the top 100?
Yeah, he's above Samaje Perine. Another
guy. I love this. This is amazing.
Yeah. That's why I wanted to dig a little bit deeper into it, because, like, you did find some good ones in Lockett and Davis.
Right.
But there's even better ones that were down here.
Yeah, there's some atrocious ones. Absolutely just egregious where the rankings of some of these guys are.
And then kind of look at some tight ends real quick, too. Like, how is Noah Fant behind Daniel Bellinger and Theo Johnson and Greg Dulcich? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Hunter Henry is below all those guys at tight end 32. Like, Hunter Henry is in line to have a really good year.
He's the starter. He's behind Dawson Knox, who's the backup.
Right.
In Buffalo.
Like, Hunter Henry is perfect guy if you don't have a good tight end or you're just looking for somebody to fill that spot this year. Like, Hunter Henry's the guy.
Hunter Henry's behind Eric All, who probably isn't playing much at all at all this year.
Jonnu Smith, tight end 34, going to be starting love that for the one. Miami Dolphins.
I love Jonnu. I got a lot of fucking Jonnu.
Tyler Conklin's coming off a 60-catch year with Zach fucking Wilson. And
he's behind Luke fucking Schoonmaker.
Juwan Johnson, I mean, I know Juwan Johnson has dropped a little the last couple days because of the foot surgery news, but sounds like he should be back for training camp. Still love Juwan Johnson. I mean, I'll pull up his stats to end the year last year. Like, he was the tight end, like, winner last year. If you started in the last couple weeks, he won your league.
He was? Colby Parkinson neck and neck with Brevin Jordan?
Yeah, I'll take Colby Parkinson all day because he got paid.
Colby Parkinson behind Jared Wiley? Why?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Never even touched the field.
Hayden Hurst, tight end 45. That could be the starting tight end for a Jim Harbaugh, Greg Roman-led offense that has no pass-catching talent whatsoever.
Yeah, and then you go down a couple more spots to tight end 49 as Will Dissly, who I think is going to be the starter.
That's nuts.
And Will Disley's the one who got the most money out of Hurst and Dissly. Hurst only got like $1.125 million, and I think Dissly got $14
million. People would rather have Irv Smith than Will Dissly.
Yeah, no thanks. I'll pass on that one. But yeah, the last 3 weeks of last year for Juwan Johnson, 4 for 48 and a touchdown, 8 for 90 and a touchdown, 3 for 40 in week 18 when we don't play week 18. But there he got, and week 15 he had a touchdown. So every week of your playoffs last year, Juwan Johnson had a touchdown.
Zach Ertz, tight end 55.
Yep. And he knows the offense.
Cliff loves him.
Yep. I don't think he's going to I don't think he's going to cut into Ben Sinnott that much, but he is going to have a role, especially probably early on while Sinnott gets used to playing, you know, NFL Sundays. I could see Ertz maybe the first 8 weeks, and then after that, it's not.
I'll make the take here. Zach Ertz finishes with more snaps and routes run than Ben Sinnott does.
I could see that. That's not crazy.
In 2024.
Like, how about that? Cole Turner's above fucking Zach Ertz.
Why?
Cole Turner's the fourth tight end on that team.
He's been dead for years.
Yeah. Like, John Bates is above him. Like, like, that doesn't make any sense.
How about this one, man? I don't know what to do with this Colts tight end room, but Kyle Granson had some fucking weeks, man. He had some weeks. He's tight end 60.
Yeah. I like Will Mallory, and Will Mallory 66.
People out here ranking Jelani Woods like he's just walking in and taking the whole job from everybody.
Yeah. Let's see. That's all they rank, but... I mean, there's definitely some other tight ends out there. Like, I don't even think he's on here, but Logan Thomas just signed with the 49ers. Kittle gets banged up. Logan Thomas could have a couple weeks for you.
Yeah, instead they got Cameron Latu ranked as tight end 62.
Right. Who I think was a dumb pick last year anyways.
He was so good that the 49ers were like, we'll go sign Logan Thomas instead.
Yeah, I think he was hurt all last year, but still.
But I mean, like, they have that much faith in him coming back. Yeah. That they were in on Brock Wright, right? They gave him the offer sheet.
Yep.
Lions matched it. And then they go out and they sign Logan Thomas.
Yeah.
Kind of tells me they don't really think much of Latu at all.
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, who knows better that it's kind of like the Kellen Mond thing with Mike Zimmer.
Mm-hmm.
I bet if they ask Shanahan, do you want to see Cameron Latu? He's like, why? We see him in practice.
Right. Yeah. There you go. But no, that's all I wanted to really talk about this week, with some of these even better trash can buys that you can get out there, like just going off of your video. So I think we hit on some good ones.
I'll give you some at the quarterback. Now they're a little bit more pricey because it's quarterback.
Right.
But I've been in on these guys, and I'm becoming more in on your boy, Aiden O'Connell.
Yep.
More than anything. I don't know who's starting.
No, I don't either.
I don't think they know who's starting.
Yeah, I think it's a legit battle.
And I would actually put more money on Aiden O'Connell starting than Gardner Minshew, because he was there, and Pierce loves him.
Yeah, and Minshew got $10 million, which is really just backup money these days.
It is. Yep.
So it's not like he like got $25 million to start this year.
But Sam Darnold, right? You're gonna get some cheap starts out of Sam Darnold early in the season. That one's a nice one.
I mean, it's not out of the question that Darnold just plays all year and he's that good.
True. Drew Locke at QB 41.
Yeah.
How much money did he get? Was it more than 10?
I can look it up. Let's see here on one of our draft websites. Let's see here. Contracts. New York Giants. And of course, this thing wants to be slow.
Take forever. Yeah, yeah. Of course it does. Doesn't it know we're recording? Right. Son of a bitch.
Okay, there it goes. Quarterback. Come on.
Typical.
Today.
Why you look that up, though? Jacoby Brissett, you can put him in the Sam Darnold bucket. And my guy, Sam Howell.
Yeah, I like Sam Howell. So he got a one-year, $5 million contract this year, and $3 million of it is guaranteed.
All right. So they gave him decent enough money.
Yeah.
Not telling him he's going to be the starter or anything, but we also know Daniel Jones is prone to fuck it up, and that offensive line is prone to get Daniel Jones killed at some point. So
yep.
You might get Drew Lock starts for dirt cheap.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely some of these backup quarterbacks I'd like to invest in. I don't know, maybe later on during the offseason here, we can kind of go back over our backup quarterback rankings now that, you know, everything's kind of in chain, or everything's pretty much stays the same, or there's were some changes that happened, but... even some of these like cheap starters, like Aaron Rodgers is quarterback 30. I think Geno Smith is still underrated. Like, I think there's still a good possibility. Geno's just the starter here again for another year. I mean, I think Kyle kind of fits the offense, but Geno hasn't been terrible.
I don't like Geno Smith. I really don't. And I think he definitely regressed from his comeback player of the year to more Geno Smith pumpkin last year. Really did. So it's not out of the realm of possibilities, at least for me, that Sam Howell could take over and win that job at some point during the season if Geno plays bad. But, I will say this with a big but, the Geno Smith price for a guy that is starting the year at quarterback is stupid. It's stupid in a Ryan Grubb offense that's got DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, JSN, Kenneth Walker, and Charbonnet, and Noah Fant, and a good offensive line. Why the fuck is he QB 31? Like, why is Justin Fields, who's currently the backup, above him?
Yeah, I mean, and just like you mentioned, the offensive line is coming back this year. They signed a couple guys there to play guard. They got Lincoln Tomlinson's there. Their tackle should be more healthy this year. They definitely did not play up to last year, but your weapons are Metcalf, Smith and Jigba, Fant, Lockett, Ken Walker. You still have Charbonnet. Like, he has a very good supporting cast.
Derek Carr, I don't think, is a good quarterback, but he is 32 on Keep Trade Cut.
Yeah, and he had some weeks last year.
Yep.
I mean, even some of his weapons, I think, are pretty cheap. So, obviously, Michael Thomas is gone, but Rashid Shaheed should be the two there. Shaheed actually had a pretty good year.
Yeah.
They signed Cedric Wilson, but I think if you look at, let me pull up his stats, too. A.T. Perry last year, towards the end of the year, he had a couple good games.
Yep.
He ended up with he had 12 catches for 246 yards, 20 yards a catch, 4 touchdowns. And that's from week 10 on last year. That was the one he played.
Didn't do too bad then.
No.
But Derek Carr is like stupid cheap.
He's cheap. Nobody likes him. And he's just that one guy that's just always a quarterback too, and he'll have a couple quarterback 1 weeks.
And unlike Daniel Jones or Geno, like, I don't think, or Aiden O'Connell, I don't think there's anybody there to really threaten Derek Carr. Like, fuck, not Jake Haener.
Not Rattler, yeah.
Not Rattler, especially in his rookie year.
Yeah.
Not Taysom Hill.
I mean, the only problem I can see is that offensive line is bad now because they lost a couple guys, and Ramchek, I don't think they've talked about if he's retiring still or not. He was one of their best offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do there at offensive line if things break down again and Derek Carr gets a shit beat out of them? It's okay, Jake Haener or Rattler are coming in, so that could look bad. There's a couple of those. Doing the team preview series with Koopa has kind of opened my eyes to some of these teams. Like, it's the Giants again. Like, that offensive line, they did not. I don't get how you could have two of the worst starters at their specific position and keep those guys and not upgrade the offensive line at all. Like, it made no sense what the Giants did at offensive line. They didn't even try.
Yeah. Here's a guy, Mason Rudolph. Quarterback 65.
Yeah.
I mean, Malik Willis is above him. And Malik Willis is not the backup.
No, they brought in Mason Rudolph to be the backup.
I think Will Levis could take a step forward this year, but he also has a play style where we saw him get his ass kicked at times last year and get fucking demolished. So
that one hit he took against Houston last year, oh, he got fucking annihilated.
Right. Makes really good videos.
Yeah. and look at, okay, so like you said, Levis goes down, Mason Rudolph steps in. He's throwing the best weapons he's ever had. You know, he's got Calvin Ridley to throw to. He's got DeAndre Hopkins, Chig, Tyler Boyd, Tajay Spears and Pollard. Like, yeah, he had some okay cast there in Pittsburgh. I think he was there for the Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell stuff because he was Roethlisberger's backup for a long time. So he had those guys, but this one's a complete offense. So, yeah, Levis is a guy I like this year just because of the opportunity. But Rudolph, if something happens there too, yeah, exactly.
They got so many guys who aren't even the direct backup quarterback to the starter right above him, right? Yep. You got fucking Dorian Thompson Robinson above him.
Yeah.
Was he the fourth quarterback?
Fourth quarterback right now, yep.
Stetson Bennett?
Yeah, just came back.
Just came back. Malik Willis, who is actually the backup to Mason Rudolph, who's backing up Will Levis. That's wild. Michael Pratt.
Yeah, Pratt. I mean, I talk about it this week on the podcast when the Packers one drops, but I think Pratt's better than Sean Clifford. You're a Big Ten guy. Sean Clifford's fucking garbage. I don't know how that guy went in the fifth round. Now, I did give him credit. Like, he played.
He had a good
really
preseason.
Good preseason, though.
Yeah, he had a good preseason.
I did give him credit,
last year.
But I thought he was like Trace McSorley bad, another Penn State quarterback.
Why is it
Penn State has like the three worst quarterbacks I've ever seen in my life? Hackenberg, fucking.
I was just gonna say like what I was. If you didn't mention, I was gonna mention Christian fucking Hackenberg.
Right. Yeah. Like three of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen in my life does not go good for Drew LR.
No. No. Jesus.
They have Kerry Collins though.
They did have Kerry Collins. They did. And they had Michael Robinson, who turned into a fullback in the NFL.
Yeah. Yep. So.
Who was that guy that came after him? Michael Robinson? Wore 17? Had kind of the same play style.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Daryl something?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I can't think of it.
All right, because that one's going to bug me. I'm going to look it up. Penn State quarterbacks.
Daryl
Clark.
Daryl Clark.
There's a Daryl Clark here.
Yeah, he wore 17. I just remember that one.
Let's see. Yeah, Daryl Clark, 17.
Daryl Clark, okay.
They had Matt McGloin.
Oh, my God. That was during the end of the Joe Pye era, right? They had all that scandal going on. Matt McGloin was in there. Bill O'Brien and Matt McGloin.
Yep. Some of these other ones I'm trying to see. Yeah, there's Hackenberg. Yeah, Kerry Collins was the best one. But, yeah, Daryl Clark was the guy you're thinking of.
Man, Daryl Clark. Blast from the past there.
Two-time All Big Ten co-winner. He has on his Twitter profile.
Really?
He's a quarterback trainer, and he actually trains quarterbacks.
Huh.
Interesting.
Huh. It's also like throwback to the Quincy Carter era of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. Good old Quincy Carter and Chad Hutchinson.
Chad Hutchinson should have stuck with baseball.
Yeah. All right, well, that's going to be it for that one. Let's do a quick America's Favorite Game, and then we'll wrap this one up.
Let's rock it.
So this one is inspired on something we talked about in the Discord I think it was yesterday. What is, we'll do favorite uniform or favorite helmet, inspired by the new fire fucking Baltimore Ravens uniform.
Oh, those are fire. Last year, though, when the Eagles came back with their Kelly Green.
Yeah.
Just for me as an Eagles fan, that's stupid though. Old school bird fucking wing and the Kelly Green helmets, the Kelly Green uniforms. So much nostalgia with those ones.
Yeah.
Definitely the favorites. I know people hate them too, but I always like the Killer Bees, the Steelers uniforms.
Oh, like, yeah, when they were.
Yeah, but people like knock those things, but I did like them.
Yeah.
I did like them. Some of the grossest ones, you remember some of those like mid-2000s, some of the ones the Packers used to have?
The Acme Jets and the dark blue and yellow.
Like, what the fuck is this?
How about the ugly-ass Eagles on the blue and yellow one?
Yes.
That McNabb wore.
Yes.
That was terrible.
Yes, I forgot about that atrocious dog shit.
Yeah, that was bad. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Not even the same colors.
No, I like that the NFL is letting them do this more and more, especially with ultimate helmets.
Yeah, the Ravens' new one is fucking fire. That's like should be like their new uniform.
Yeah, last year the Bengals with the white helmet was really good.
All white, yep.
The all white was really good.
The Vikings just came out with their all white uniform.
Yep,
that looks pretty cool.
I'm always gonna be impartial though to the old powder blue Chargers.
Yeah, yeah, with the number on the helmet.
Yep, I just. Yep. Something about that's just classic good. Dan Fouts, Air Coryell.
The Browns did that, I think, in whatever the Jamal Lewis era was. They did the numbers on the side of the helmet there for a couple games. Those were cool. I really like for helmets right now for like the actual ones that are being used. I love the Commander's helmet with the matte red. It just looks so nice on there. So I like. I really like the Washington helmets right now.
The 49ers with their black jerseys, red numbers, gold helmet. Yeah. That's really good combination too. Like that's a really good one to have. When I got the JSN jersey behind me, but you seen I got that Chris Olave jersey, the Ohio State black one.
Yeah, the Ohio
State something about those black jerseys too for teams that don't normally wear black, maybe they're red or whatever. That kind of offset is always really nice. Even like the Eagles, I love when they come out and they're all black.
Yeah. I like the Patriots, Patriot Pat helmet.
Oh, yeah,
that's always a good one.
That always reminds me of Tecmo Bowl. Yeah. It really does.
You know what other uniforms the Patriots had that I really liked that they don't use anymore is the Bledsoe era ones with the Patriot on the shoulder pads. I think they should wear those for a game. I think those would be cool for a good throwback.
I mean, ones I always hate, anything Dallas does.
Yeah. I like the John Elway Denver jerseys. Those should be like what they should be going back to. Like they should have never left that like light blue.
Yeah.
I mean, I do like the dark blue and the orange, but I think the light blue and the orange would be better for them.
I got to say, though, maybe it's just new, but that something about that Ravens one that dropped, that purple, that matte purple with the gold face mask. Is just stupidly good.
Yeah, and the numbers fit perfectly with the gold with the white trim. Those are going to be some sexy uniforms. So that'll probably be on one of their primetime games. They're only using it for one game next year. I'm like, man, I'd love to see that for like three or four.
So Houston came out with some of theirs, right, too? Yep. They got their all reds. I thought they were okay. Most of the stuff they came out with was junk, but their H-Town ones with their ice blue H on the side of the helmet. Mm-hmm. And then like all their accessories are going to be like that powder blue kind of homage to the Oilers kind of deal.
Yeah.
I really like that.
Yeah, the old Oilers helmets are freaking cool too.
Yes.
I mean, I know you, like in your background there, you have the white Steelers helmet. I don't know if I like that so much.
You got to see it up close. The white Steelers helmet is fire. The looter.
Yeah, I think that's just one of the, it's like the Browns helmet. You just don't touch that kind of helmet.
Don't touch it. Yeah, okay. How about most mid uniforms for release this year has been the Denver Broncos. they just look like junk.
The Lions just like changed the font.
it's the same shit.
Yeah, but the Lions do have those cool. I think it's the black ones that look really cool. They came out with this year. But yeah, like I know, like Ultimate Autographs and some of these other places do the helmet ones and stuff like that, and they have like the alternate helmets. Like you have the Dolphins one in the background that's black with like a green logo.
Mm-hmm.
I there's some of them I'd be like, eh, I don't like this one. Like, and I know that you know it's for autograph collectors basically to have, but I'm like, eh, I don't like this helmet. Like, I'd rather have something that would actually be worn on the field.
Yeah, I like them for a lot of it, at least when it pops for me, especially if they sign it in the same color marker or paint pen, right? Yeah. So like that teal and black Tyreek helmet I have, that he signed it in a teal marker paint pen. Yeah. So it really stands out. Like I've had a Deion Sanders one from Colorado that's signed in gold, which is, you know, cool. That kind of stuff for autograph purposes, yes, that stuff changes it, but... Hey, some of the originals, man. I love that Chad Ochocinco back there. That's just a generic Bengals on-field helmet. Yeah. It's just timeless.
One of the coolest ones I seen when I went to the Hall of Fame induction ceremony for Brett Favre that year. So whatever year that was. Obviously, Hall of Fame, everybody's there. So all the merchandise tent outside of the Hall of Fame is there and everything. So we went in there. It's this huge, huge tent with all kinds of shit, vendors with all their stuff in there. So obviously Favre was in there. I can't think of his name. Ken Stabler, who I really, really liked, went in that year too. I think DeLombardo went in. A couple other guys went in. Anyways, so they had, you know, a lot of Green Bay Packers stuff, obviously, for Brett Favre. They had a triple signed Brett Favre, Bart Starr, Aaron Rodgers helmet on the Green Bay. And it had what year they won the Super Bowl under it. So, you know, they wrote, like, Super Bowl 7 champion or 2 champion, whatever it was. And they wrote their MVPs on there, too. So Favre obviously had a couple MVPs. Rodgers had a couple at the time. I don't remember if Bart Starr had one or not, but he was definitely a Super Bowl winner. So they had those inscriptions on there, too. So I thought that was probably one of the coolest helmets I've seen. It was already sold. Somebody bought it, which I don't blame them, but that was probably one of the coolest helmets I've seen.
I still want to get one of those Iowa all-black alternate uniforms and an alternate helmet. They wore it when we played you guys Ohio State in 2017 when we beat the livid shit out of you. JT Barrett at quarterback, 55-24, upset number 5 Ohio State. But they unveiled that jersey for that game, and then they went out and just beat the shit out of Ohio State. Like, one of my greatest memories as a Hawkeye fan, which isn't a lot because our offense has been terrible ever since, I think. But, you know, to unveil a new uniform like that and then go out and have one of the biggest upset games in my fandom, like, that's always going to have a special place. So,
I remember in my high school, so I went to North High School here, and there's the next town over is South High School. So that's their biggest rival every year. So they came out, so the whole team went inside for the coin toss and stuff. So, and they sent out the like three or four captains, and they had on white jerseys or whatever for the coin toss or whatever. So that was cool, whatever. They come back. Those kids leave and go to the locker room too. And then they all come out and they change their jerseys. They had like orange jerseys on. So everyone in the crowd was all excited, and they're playing the South team that has fucking Kareem Hunt on it. I think it fucking obliterated, like 55-7. I'm like, yeah, those jerseys didn't really help.
You might want to throw them away.
Yeah,
they didn't do shit for you.
Yeah, no.
Big jersey unveil just to get your ass beat.
Yeah. I'm definitely expecting you to have that new Ravens helmet by the end of the season, though.
I'm going to try, man. I hope I can get one signed on Ultimate Autographs, man. Maybe a Zay Flowers, Lamar, something like that.
Somebody, yeah.
Yeah, just nobody shitty, right? I don't want a Trent Dilfer signed awesome Ravens helmet. If that happened, Eric, I might just wear it. You know, fuck, if I smudge it, who gives a shit? Just going to wear the helmet.
Get a Joe Cool fucking autograph on there. That'd be sweet.
There you go.
Super Bowl champ.
Yeah. Jamal Lewis. Go way back in the day.
There you go. That'd be a good one. All right. Well, that is going to be it for this week's episode, guys. Hope you guys enjoyed it. You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Vanek NFL, at America's Game Pod as well, at South Harmon FF. Follow us there. All the guys are on there. We're reposting them. So Koopa, Mike, Adam, all those guys, follow them. Anything you got for us, Mike, before we wrap it up?
No, no. This is a good one. You're talking about some cheap. Shit. It's cheap shit to throw on your rosters. But you'll really appreciate it come in season. Right now, nobody really thinks about it. They really don't.
Right.
It's like, oh, this guy's old and gross. Get him off my team. Sure.
I'm going to look for on my teams here in a little bit that are contenders and go throw some offers out for a lot of those guys, for sure.
I love exploiting keep trade cuts. One of my favorite things to do.
Hell yeah.
Whether it's trades or terrible rankings. I love it.
Exactly. All right, that is it for this week, guys. Episode 47. We'll be back next week for episode 48. We'll see you.